What's up, fight fans? Welcome to Full Press MMA. I'm Jim Grease, G-R-I-E-S, Jim Grease underscore Cageside Grease on social media, and I'm here on your Friday with all the news, hot topics, hot takes, you name it, to make you the smartest MMA fan in the room. Whatever conversation you're in, we got your back. It's Friday, December 9th. UFC 282 is tomorrow night in Las Vegas. The UFC closing out 2022 with a major title fight and a bunch of big fights for future superstars. All kinds of things going on in Vegas. It's Friday. You ain't got no job. You ain't got shit to do. Let's go. Even with boxing and Bellator going on this weekend, the eyes of the combat sports world fixated on Las Vegas, Sin City, the site, T-Mobile Arena, tomorrow night, UFC 282. Official weigh-ins done this morning, and everything is set for the main event. The vacant light heavyweight title is on the line with Yuri Prochazka out perhaps up to a year and maybe longer with that devastating shoulder injury. Magomed Ankalaev finally gets his title shot as this fight gets moved up from co-main, but not before Glover Teixeira, the other former light heavyweight champ on this card, was offered the opportunity to keep that slot and fight Ankalaev for the vacant title. Glover passing, saying he didn't have time to get ready for that fight, had trained for Yuri Prochazka, a completely different fighter than Magomed Ankalaev. So now Błachowicz with the chance to get the belt back, Ankalaev the chance to get it done and win the belt. So when you look at this card right now, that main event is set. Everybody else on the card made weight. Paddy Pimblett and Jared Gordon are good to go. Bryce Mitchell and Ilya Topuria, good to go. Darren Till and Drakus Duplessis, all those fights are good to go. Everything except one fight is good to go on this card after a bunch of changes this week. That's Daniel Da Silva has been removed from his flyweight belt against Vinicius Salvador. And the reason is Da Silva missed weight by 3 pounds, and this is being labeled a medical issue. But everybody else is good to go at UFC 282. So that long journey, once the announcements are made through the fight camps, through the media, and all the stuff you have to do on fight week, it's almost go time in Las Vegas. The fighters get a little bit restless, as always. And how about Ilya Topuria and Paddy Pimblett? They had an altercation in England in March, and it just continues between these two all week here. Topuria and Pimblett going back and forth at the press conference yesterday. And Topuria trying to rush Paddy Pimblett, being separated by security. They're not even fighting each other on this fight card. They're at different weight classes, but it's a lot of fun sitting back and watching these two go at it. Topuria insisting that Pimblett's afraid of him. Pimblett saying he's obsessed with him and going back and forth, to which Paddy the Batty finally said, "Come get me." And Topuria tried to do it. Security separating those two, as they might have to do if Jake Paul shows up this weekend. You guys saw Jake Paul challenging Paddy the Batty, offering him $1 million to compete against the problem child in a sparring match, and said, you know, with that bet, Jake Paul would pay him $1 million if Paddy the Batty were able to win in that sparring competition. But if Paddy the Batty were to lose to Jake Paul, then Pimblett would have to join the United Fighters Association, the union that Jake Paul is pushing for fighter pay. And it's one of those things that the problem child has been adamant about. In interview with Daniel Cormier this week, Paddy the Batty talking to DC about how he went up and confronted Jake Paul, and Paddy saying, "Hey, if Jake Paul comes near me this weekend, I'm going to give him one of these." Obviously, the gesture and the sound of a slap. So Paddy the Batty, everybody wants a piece of him. Everybody wants a shot at him. He's supposed to be that next big star for the UFC. He said he's going to be bigger than Conor McGregor. He gets a chance to face the toughest test of his career and Jared Flash Gordon this weekend. Gordon has had that hard knock life, been in jail, had 3 overdoses. I mean, this guy's been through it all. And Paddy the Batty looking to keep that meteoric rise going at UFC 282, a card that's stacked with up-and-coming superstars for the UFC. Man, just mentioning that gets me more fired up for Bryce Mitchell and Ilya Topuria, Darren Till and Drakus Duplessis. A win-or-go-home fight from at least title contention when it comes to Darren Till, and Duplessis looking to continue that rise for him. But Topuria, Mitchell, and Duplessis, 3 unsung superstars in the making on their way up for the UFC. And Mitchell and Topuria, someone's always got to go. Great week of fights. Will Paddy the Batty, Mitchell, Topuria, Duplessis, and all those guys have enough star power to get some pay-per-view buys without that big marquee name on the top? We shall see in Vegas this weekend. In other news, Paulo Costa would like to have his final fight on his UFC contract erased. It's the last fight on the current contract for the Eraser, who is set to take on Robert Whittaker at UFC 284 in Perth, Australia in February. That is Yair Rodriguez and Josh Emmett. And Islam Makhachev and Alexander Volkanovski. Volkanovski moving up to try to win the lightweight belt in addition to the featherweight belt. Rodriguez and Emmett in an interim situation for the featherweight belt there, which is kind of funny when you look at Brian Ortega and Max Holloway, and in my opinion, better fighters than those two, and they're not in this fight. Whitaker and Costa, the co-main, ironically, with Whitaker being Australian. But here's the tweet from Paulo Costa as he describes his situation, a six-fight deal offered by the UFC, to which Paulo says he, quote, politely declined. And here's the tweet. Hey, guys, I'm here again to say the obvious. I don't have a deal to fight in Perth. A lot of fans are sending their regards for this fight, but it's not for real, in caps. Anyway, see you soon in MMA or boxing. Costa has not been happy for a long time with his contractual status in the UFC. We'll keep an eye on this one for you. Moving on from one fighter who doesn't seem to want to be in the UFC anymore to one who really does, Zion Clark. How about Zion? Caudal regression syndrome is what he was born with. It's a rare disorder. It impairs the development of the lower body. Although born without a lower half, Clark has repeatedly proven he is definitely a huge, huge warrior, fighter, wrestler, whatever you want to call him. He is a champion, the Collegiate Wrestling All-American, taking to Twitter and making his thoughts known for Dana White to sign him with the UFC, saying, quote, no way, Hasbulla got a UFC contract. I literally fight guys twice my size and still win. If it's true, I'm throwing little man when I see him like a football. I swear, then give me the contract, Dana, unless you have a problem with the disabled leveling up like me. It'll be interesting to see what Dana White does here. Clark has certainly proven that he can compete in combat sports at the highest of levels in spite of his handicap. Go Zion. In other news, the Alberta, Canada Gaming Liquor and Cannabis has reinstated betting on the UFC. A week ago, they said no more betting on the promotion while the investigation into coach James Krause is being conducted, and that investigation is still underway. But Krause has been suspended by the Nevada Commission, and because of that, Alberta Gaming has said with the recent announcement by the UFC that Krause's managers and fighters will not be permitted to participate in UFC events. Pending Nevada State Athletic Commission's investigation, Alberta Gaming Liquor and Cannabis has reinstated UFC betting markets on playalberta.ca. We will remain vigilant in monitoring the situation and ensure players continue to have safe and secure gaming opportunities on Play Alberta. If you've been living under a rock, on December 2nd, the UFC announced that Krause's license has been suspended by the Nevada Commission and that fighters who remain involved with Krause would be temporarily banned from participating in UFC events. The investigations, of course, triggered by suspicious betting on that November 5th fight with Derek Minner, who fights for Krause, and Shaylon Nerdenbacher. Minner lost by first-round TKO. Multiple sports books had unusual betting interest leading into that fight on Nerdenbacher to win by first-round knockout and for the fight to last under 2.5 rounds. There's speculation that there was an injury with Minner going into that fight through a kick, hit his opponent in the hip, and then just went down with the injury, got pounded out, and lost that fight. And this investigation I mentioned, still ongoing into James Krause and into his gym and his fight team and all those things. And it's a very, very big story and a lot of passion on both sides. We'll keep you updated, but you can bet on the UFC fights if you live in Alberta. And finally, the World MMA Awards last night in Las Vegas at the Sahara, held by fighters only. They've become the award show for fighters and people involved in the fight game over the years. Here are some of the winners. The Charles Mask Lewis Fighter of the Year, Alexander Volkanovski. And boy, did he deserve that. Johnny Eblen, Charles Oliveira, Islam Makhachev, and Francis Ngannou also in that category. But Volk clearly, after cleaning out the division at featherweight and being rewarded with a title shot at lightweight against Islam Makhachev coming up in February, is the Fighter of the Year. The Female Fighter of the Year, no surprise, Valentina Shevchenko continuing her dominance at 125 pounds. Breakthrough Fighter of the Year, Patty Pimblett, who's on his first pay-per-view co-main event against Jared Gordon this weekend. International Fighter of the Year, Alexander Volkanovski, no surprise there. Fight of the Year, Jiří Procházka and Glover Teixeira from UFC 275. It outlasted and beat Gaethje versus Chandler, Volkanovski versus Ortega, Chimaev versus Burns, and Holloway versus Yair Rodriguez. Knockout of the Year, Michael Chandler's front kick against Tony Ferguson at UFC 274, beating Ignacio Bahamondes and Sergio Pettis, Molly McCann, among others. Submission of the Year, Jiří Procházka's rear naked choke against Glover Teixeira, Stevie Ray against Anthony Pettis, Oliver Enkamp and Mark Leminger. Jessica Andrade, standing arm triangle against Amanda Lemos, they all paled in comparison. The winner, Charles Oliveira's rear naked choke against Dustin Poirier at UFC 269. Comeback of the year, Aljamain Sterling. No surprise there, the bantamweight champ. Upset of the year, Juliana Pena over Amanda Nunes at UFC 269. Best promotion of the year, UFC. Leading man of the year, Dana White. Ref of the year, Mark Goddard. Analyst of the year, Michael Bisping. Personality of the year, Joe Rogan. And we could go on, but those are the main award winners at the World MMA Awards put on by Fighters Only last night in Las Vegas. I've worked that event a lot of times. So much fun on the red carpet. And in Las Vegas, it used to be an international fight week, but now, right before the end of the year. And speaking of the end of the year, Jan Błachowicz or Magomed Ankalaev will finish it with the UFC's light heavyweight title wrapped around his waist. And Paddy the Batty Pimblett will finish it with his star meteorically continuing to rise, or the hype train derailed. So many questions to be answered at UFC 282. Can't wait. And of course, I'll be live on MMA Weekly during the fights. Make sure you take a listen and watch with us the reaction show on YouTube. That's all there is, fight fans. There is no more on your Friday. Getting ready for UFC 282. Can't wait. This is Jim Greece, G-R-I-E-S, Jim Greece _ Cageside Greece on social media, reminding you to keep your game tight and your mind right and keep coming back for more Full Press MMA. I'm out.